Because we read this story so regularly, it's sometimes difficult to imagine the horror of the moment. And just imagine the horror of the gospeler, the Matthew who wrote this, and John who wrote his version, and Mark and Luke. They had to spend some time thinking upon it for many years, and then eventually it was put on paper. They wanted to record this so that people could, down the centuries, reflect upon it for themselves. And of course, that's what we're doing today. But it must have been a very painful thing to tell and retell that story, which is what they did for many years. There was this kind of oral tradition where they would meet together in their homes and in their house churches initially, and they would tell the story. And the story is horrific. There's no other words for it. It's a setup from the start to the finish. But of course, with one exception, that Jesus, of course, knew that this had to happen. The charges against him were false. He was an innocent man. And of course, he had to be innocent, because the only way in which, actually, we could be a forgiven people is if Jesus was innocent. He was sinless. And he went to the cross in that way, without sin. And when he died on the cross, it's his blood that sets us free subsequently. It is his blood. Which is why when we celebrate Holy Communion together, we are mindful of these events. We are told that we should remember these things every time we break bread together and drink of the wine. It's a reimagining and a reworking of the same story, and God meets with us in an extraordinary way as we do that very thing. And so we tell this story, and we're mindful of this story, because the cross still survives today. Not physically, but the cross is still doing its work in people's lives. And that's crucial and important. People very often today talk about carrying their own cross, which is right in one respect. We do have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. But actually, it's his cross. We carry his cross. We go with him. And he goes with us in our lives. We can't go through the thing that he went through. That's not for us to experience, but we do nevertheless journey together with him, and he journeys with us. And as we do that, we perhaps need to be mindful of what has been wrought for us through his death on the cross. Last evening we asked the question, or Jesus asked the question of his disciples when he washed their feet, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" Today we're invited to think upon the question of Jesus, "Do you understand what I have done for you as I have died on that cross?" What has happened? How does it work for us today? The cross still stands. It still towers, and it still has an importance even today. And in a sense, it's almost timeless in that way, because it reaches back into the past, to those who have died before us. It touches us in our generation, and it will reach forward to those who will live beyond this day. And it will do the work of redeeming people, of bringing them back into the loving presence of God. And that's necessary, because even though we weren't there on that day, essentially we kind of were. Because Jesus, all that was happening was representing what humanity is like. All the mistakes that people make kind of poured out and was met on the cross at Calvary. Everything we've ever done wrong, past, present or future, is met at that moment. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," he didn't just deal with our sins, but he dealt with the battle that was in existence with Satan himself. He disempowered Satan. And the only reason that Satan has an opportunity to destroy lives today is when people choose not to follow the way of Christ. But he has been disempowered, because in Christ and through his victory on the cross, we have been set free. And it is the blood of Christ that sets us free, his shed blood on the cross. And we need to reflect upon that, and come regularly to be washed and rewashed in his blood and allow his blood to have its effect upon our lives so that we can continue to be a forgiven people who are freed and set free in every respect. No words spoken of us over us in our lives need hang around. We can be set free from all of that. Nothing we've done in the past, present or future need hang around. We can be set free from all of that. And that's a wonderful truth we must never lose sight of. And it's good to try and reimagine this. It's important that we listen to these stories and hear them in this particular way. Or if today you were on the moor, you would have seen it reenacted. And that too has its impact. But for those who can't be there, we need to read this or hear it read to us so that we can understand and try to understand what it is that Jesus has done for us. Do you understand what I have done for you? Might be the question that Jesus frames for all of us today. Please God that we do, and that we can draw upon his loving presence in our lives as we reflect upon the cross. And then when Jesus died, those final few moments, and first of all he forgives the soldiers, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Actually, the forgiveness stretches out much further than that, not just the soldiers who were there and who were actually saying things to him which we consider to be atrocious. You say you're God and come down from the cross. But actually it's not just them. It's everyone in every generation who rubbishes what God did on the cross. Father, forgive them. Each and every generation, they do not know what they're saying or what they're doing. And there's a real promise involved in that, because we realize that the cross does still stand. It still towers and it still gives strength to those who believe. And we need to remember that. There is a story, of course, and I'm sure you've read the story of Ernest Gordon, who was imprisoned in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. And it tells the story very powerfully of how they wanted to redeem their dignity. And they wanted to do this in a number of ways, not least by looking out for each other. But what they did was they listened to important works from scripture being read, but also some philosophical works. And all kinds of things like that. And one day, the captain of the prisoner of the guards actually found a Bible, and it belonged to one of the prisoners called Dusty. And of course, he found in there a picture of Jesus being crucified. And one day, they'd been out working, and it was getting towards the end of the war, and they came back, and they were counting the shovels back into the store, and one was missing. And what happened next was, of course, that the captain, the Japanese captain, wanted to say, who's got the shovel? Because if you don't give it back, there's going to be a mass genocide here. We're going to kill a whole lot of you, basically. And this didn't happen because someone came forward and gave up, and that was Dusty. And what happened next was that he was crucified. They crucified him. But what was most extraordinary about this, apart from the fact he gave his life for his comrades, what actually happened was that the captain of the guards looked upon him, and gradually just tears were rolling down his face, because the cross still stands and it still towers and still has an impact upon people's lives. And you saw people's lives being transformed in that camp. Because they were determined to retain their dignity. And they learnt something of God through just listening to stories like this each and every day. The cross still stands. It still towers. And it still provides a way for us to follow and to find hope in Christ. Thanks be to God for that truth. And so Jesus was taken, crucified, and buried. And today, of course, that's where we leave the story. We know we have the future hope, and in a couple of days' time, we will celebrate that. But all of this, who could have imagined that Isaiah the prophet would prophesy this in such an extraordinary way that it would come to pass in this way, such as it did. But it did happen, and we do give thanks to God because Jesus went to a cross at Calvary, and there he died for me, and he died for you, and for the whole world, past, present, and future. Thanks be to God. Let's be still for a moment.